Off the Ball Rugby.
You know, and in that coffee in Melbourne, Joe did say that, you know, stay fit. If something happens, you know, we may need you. And I thought, yeah, no chance that's happening, mate.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
It's time to turn our attention to matters rugby, because of course it is the second pool leg game for the Irish team, Scott Beamon's Irish team, against Spain in the World Cup over in England this Sunday, noon, Franklin's Gardens in Northampton. It's Ireland against Spain. We have Alan Quinlan in studio. Morning, Alan.
Morning, lads. How are you?
Coming in. And we have Susanna Mullen on the line from Northampton, I believe. Susanna, how are things?
I'm good. I'm en route to Northampton. I'm still in London at the moment, but getting there. I'll be there for the team announcement. So. Well,
that's the most important thing. How was last weekend? The reflections on last weekend have been at the Japan game, of course. The solid win, solid performance, kind of done by half time. So it was one of those tick the box and get out of there sort of jobs.
Yeah, it was. And I mean, they did have a bit of a downward kind of spiral in the start of that second half. But I think most importantly, they were able to pick up, get through that kind of patch and make sure that they finished the game as strongly as they started it. So I think that's almost important. It's almost more important than having just won the game straight out by miles, because now they know that if they face a difficult situation, they can rally and they can get through it, and they have individuals who can pull them out. So I think they'll be feeling very confident going into this weekend.
Solid atmosphere at the game as well. Plenty of Irish in attendance.
Yeah, it was huge. It was sold out. Now, it was a double game. So they had South Africa, Brazil on straight away afterwards. So they sold the tickets as a kind of package, so you could go to both games. But it meant that there was a lot of green in the stadium, because obviously South Africa and Brazil are both green jerseys as well. So the stadium felt like it was full of Irish fans. And I do think the Irish fans were the loudest ones there. I mean, Ireland's call was, it gave me goosebumps, honestly, when it was going around in the stadium. And they had Fields of Athenry kind of pounding around. So it really was some atmosphere. And I hope that the Irish fans are there in force again this weekend.
Yeah, we obviously done, it was a solid performance against Japan. Is there, where are we looking for improvements in this Irish team against Spain?
I think their lineouts are what everyone's been saying need to improve massively. I think they lost four of their own lineouts in the first half. Now, they did make tweaks, and as I said, they did change it in the second half, but it will be interesting to see. They had kind of Fiona Tewitt, who does a lot of the lineout calling. She was at six, so I don't know if we'll see changes in that second and back row, but I definitely think that's something they'll have been working on. But as I said all week, that's a minor fix and they can do it very easily in training this week. That's something they can focus on and bring into that Spain game. So I think that plus a little bit of backfield positioning, we did see Japan caught them on the hop a couple of times with kicking kind of over back into the blindside corner. They were catching Stacey Flood a few times, who obviously had a phenomenal game, but hopefully with just a bit of positioning work, they'll be able to make sure Spain don't kind of catch them out like that, because that's really important in terms of making sure they get in the right positions on the pitch, get their exit, get their clearance, and keep front foot in the game, I think.
It was funny, I was looking at Alex Codling's comments this week when he on lineouts. He said, it's well documented I like lineouts. It's probably the reason I'm on this planet. So I've heard people who like lineouts before, but Alex Codling really, really likes lineouts.
Yeah, I have a similar view on lineouts. I probably don't. I talk a lot about them in matches, and you know, one lost lineout can or stolen lineout can either win or lose you a game. It can. You look kind of. I always look at a couple of phases ahead. You know, if you're defending your line 5 yards out, you're blowing. You're under pressure. You've got to run back to. The opposition have kicked a brilliant ball, it dribbles into the corner. You've got to, you know, it's challenging when you're tired and you're under pressure. You've got to go back, you've got to concentrate, you've got to wait for the call, you've got to execute the lift, you've got to get your speed and movement right. So it's not just walk up and throw the ball into a lineout. My earlier days of playing, and I actually had this chat with somebody recently in Australia, when I was there for the Lions, about the importance of lineouts. When I started playing in 97, 98, 99, 2000, I was a back row. So I was at a lineout option at the tail of the lineout. And nearly every time the hooker throws to me, I win it, because there's no competition. You know, defensive stuff back then was up two pods, a pod at two and a pod at four in the lineout. But the tail was, we can't really, we don't know how to defend that. the game has evolved so much. It's evolved massively in the women's game as well, where there's pods being put in the air, people are standing side on, they're watching movements of feet, the weight of the throw, the analysis stuff. And, you know, there's a real intrigue in lineouts because it's an art in itself. The whole system is all around speed of movement, deception, all that kind of stuff, and getting up in the air quicker. Now, in saying all that, sometimes we see an overcomplication in the men's senior game, you know, top internationals, too much movement, slower throw, all that kind of stuff. Where this women's team has improved dramatically through Alex Coughlin is their understanding of the lineout. And I'll go back to, I'm sorry if I'm drifting back a few times, but Paul O'Connell, lineout expert, world-class, well-renowned when he played in the Lions, all the English, Welsh, Scottish guys would talk about the level of detail that he would bring, the knowledge he would pass on to other guys, but also the expectation from him of knowing your role inside out. So that's not just the line-out jumpers, like, i.e. the guys who are going up in the line-out who win the ball. It's props, it's back rows, it's what's your role. If the line-out is won at the front, what's your role? You're at the tail of the line-out. We always had great fun with David Wallace, phenomenal athlete, but Wally used kind of, and line-outs are really not for me because I'm at the tail of the line-out, but Paul used rip into him a few times if because he would change a line-out call. We would end up with giving a call and then having a buzzword if the opposition were defending where he called it. And it could be thrown straight to the tail to me and Wally might lift me in training and stuff. Paul used to love that. So there's a real intrigue in line-outs. This team has improved dramatically and they're so lucky to have Alex Coughlin. I know he's going to Munster after this. But as Susanna said, you know, if you lose four line-outs in a game, that could be significant in the latter parts of this tournament, which where they want to be. The pressure they'll get from Spain on Sunday is going to be more with respect to Japan from a lineout point of view. So that's what they work on during the week. And look, even at the very top level in the men's game, we call lineout experts and teams. South Africa probably always have the New Zealand. They're up there with, you know, top lineout performers at the moment. You'll always lose one or two lineouts here and there. So this Irish team, it's important. What I like about everything about the group and what Scott Beaman has done and the improvements we've seen in the team is they've made improvements right across the board, Shane. I think everybody can see that. Okay, without getting too far ahead, you know, what they did in that tournament over in the USA last September was fantastic. Disappointing end to the Six Nations with the Scotland game, you know, but a few little setbacks along the way, but we've seen significant skill set improvement right across the board. This team being able to deal physically with the opposition, being aggressive. So yeah, it's been brilliant and it's great to see them, what they did. And Susanna makes a very valid point. After half time last weekend, we saw a little bit of a character test. Japan came back, they scored, could have scored again. Eve Higgins gets that brilliant intercept and she was fantastic, wasn't she, in the game. If they score there, it's back to 7 points. It's squeaky bum time. And so character is needed and they've shown a bit of steel and metal, but they'll need to bring it again. I know there's a bit of talk about, oh, will there be changes for New Zealand and all that, but if they win on Sunday, they're in the quarterfinal, which is what they want to achieve. And so far, they've done really well. There's improvements needed for sure.
I'm just having a look at the Spanish results over the last couple of weeks. Quinny, they 54 points conceded against New Zealand, 97 against England, and 48 against Australia. Are they weak defensively, the Spanish? Or is it the level of opposition?
You know what? It's when you England can put 100 points on anyone. Yeah. That's just the reality. And we've spoken about where they've been the last number of years, their development and all that. Everybody knows that. You saw them last week in the game against the USA, how dominant they were. I think that Spain are probably, and I listened to the Spain captain during the week, she plays in Harlequins with some of these girls, some of the Irish girls. She knows them well. They're probably, my best way to describe it is they're probably below, a little bit below Ireland. If we were to kind of go form-wise and quality and development, They probably have half their players are pros and a few semi-pros and a few who are amateur. So they're kind of in that development role as well. They've some very good players, some very physical players and some very skilled players. But you think Ireland are that little bit advanced ahead of them. What they did against New Zealand was they showed a lot of tenacity to kind of hang in there. Again, New Zealand are a team who can put big scores up on teams. And New Zealand and England are the firm favourites for this tournament. So Ireland are stronger. You know, there's a little bit of history here in a sense that they knocked Ireland out of World Cup qualifier in 2021, which was a shock at the time, 8-7. It was through that really negative period that we were going through with the women's team. Ireland beat them 2 years later in a tournament in Dubai, 15-13. So I think where Ireland have gone to, this should be, you know, too strong for Spain. But dare we say it.
I think just to pick up on what Quinny was saying there, in terms of Ireland's improvement versus Spain's improvement, I think that's where we're going to see a massive difference now compared to 2021. If you look in 2021, at the time, Ireland were ranked 8th and Spain were ranked 9th. So really the gap wasn't all that big and you could have expected it to be a competitive battle. Whereas now we've seen Ireland have, they've gone to WXV1, they've had consistent performances in the Six Nations, they've obviously had that win against New Zealand and they've gone up, they're now at 5th and we've seen that kind of steady climb as Quinny was saying. Whereas Spain, really, we haven't seen them take off. If anything, I think they've probably gone the other way. And even one of their most experienced players was saying the other day, or a couple of weeks ago, that if they played their national team from 4 years ago, they're not sure that they would win. So I think that's really tough coming into a tournament where they're feeling like they haven't progressed from a couple of years ago, whereas Ireland are feeling like they're a completely different team. So I think from a mental point of view, if Ireland can get over that kind of demon of that loss in 2021, and realize how far they've come compared to Spain, I think they should feel very confident. Obviously, you don't want to say they're obviously going to win, but I do think they'll feel confident.
The only thing they can do is control this themselves, Susanna, and I think Scott Beaman is very calm influence in this group. Obviously, the other coaches as well have done a great job with them. And getting them to here and upskilling them. But the psychological part of this, sometimes you know this, Keith, from sport, you have to embrace favourites tags as well. We probably grew up, and I certainly did, as an underdog kind of scenario when we played big teams in Europe. It's actually not a bad thing in sport to say, we are favourites, let's go out. We're not going to let this pressure hold us back. We got to believe that we're good enough, but we've got to execute our game and what we can control. And this team are favourites against Spain. Not huge favourites, but, you know, they're good favourites against
them. Bookies have them decent favourites,
Okay, but, you know, I'd still always be nervous in any sport should you get too far. But they've got to embrace this. So we've seen a lot of physical development, skill set development, mental development as well, because, they started Six Nations this year with encouragement against France in Belfast, disappointment and encouragement, and they've shown a lot of mettle, you know, to stay at this level. Two outstanding players missing: Dorothy Wall, Erin King. Aoife Wafer still missing. She's hopefully going to be possibly back. We'll know from the announcement in a while. Susanna is going to be there. Whether Aoife Wafer is going to be involved this weekend or whether she'll be involved against New Zealand. So they've made great improvements. And it seems like a very happy camp. They seem in good shape. The thing about World Cup, Shane, is you do a lot of planning, structuring, fitness work, getting matches right. And you want to try and land there and get the... be right mentally, physically, and have the preparation is paid off. And I think they're in a good place at the moment. Obviously, we want to see them win against Spain and be in the quarterfinals. Mm. You're looking at then, if they get into quarterfinals, it's France or South Africa or Italy. South Africa, Italy playing Sunday. I was a little bit surprised. I thought South Africa would be favourites against Italy, but Italy, there's very little between them and Sunday. So I just think next week, and there's been a lot said about will Scott Beaman change his team? One of the New Zealand analysts was suggesting that Ireland won't take that game serious. I think it's all about Sunday and the mental preparation and get a performance, because I liked, and I always look at this in sport, it's the times when you're struggling and you see character, isn't it?
It's when you find out about people, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've seen a good few moments from this team and this group in the last period of time where they're under pressure and they're digging in for each other. They're working hard to get around the corner, to defend, to make tackles, and they were under a lot of pressure at times in that second half against Japan, and that stuff is money in the bank for the bigger tests. So they've got to find a performance on Sunday. It doesn't have to be this silky performance where they have a great performance. They just need to win this game on Sunday, get that aside, because there is a little bit of a psychological challenge and a little bit of pressure with that as well.
We're obviously not looking past Spain, Susanna, but Quinny mentioned the I don't know if you call it a war of words, but Ruby Toohey pointing out that Ireland maybe won't take it seriously against New Zealand in the week after this, if you know both teams have already progressed. Scott Beamond, I know, has rubbished it, but nothing more has come from it, I presume.
No, nothing more that I've seen. I think it's been very on the hush hush. I think everyone's trying to say that it was said in a sense of they might make some changes, they might rotate their squad. And Ruby Toohey kind of took that and flew with it as, they're not going to play their best players against New Zealand and they're going to throw the game, which I don't think that's what was said on the call. But it is an interesting concept of, I think coming into this World Cup, I would have thought, looking at it, that Spain is Ireland's easiest game, you would say, in terms of looking at rankings and looking at performance over recent years. So if you were going to rotate your squad, you would presume it would be this game where you give your nines and your tens and maybe some of your front row a bit of a break. But it seems like they're just not quite confident enough that this is a straight out win. And I think it is something to do with that psychological factor that Quinny was talking about. So I think they are going to go full force this weekend and play their best 23. But then your question is, what do you do for New Zealand? Because you do have to give some of your players a rest at some stage. It's a long tournament. You've got the likes of Dan O'Brien. She played 80 minutes last week and she is integral to this team. And she looked exhausted. I'm not going to lie. By the end of the Japan game, she looked tired. And I don't know if she's going to be able to pull out, you know, 5, 6, 80 minute performances. So I suppose the question is, where do you rotate your squad? And maybe it is in that third game, not in a sense of throwing it, but just in a sense of strategically, you need to rest some players, and going into that quarterfinal, you want to be as strong as you can be.
I think you have a great chance in a quarterfinal if you have a fresh, energetic team. Because either of those three games, South Africa, France, or Italy, I think Italy, France, or Italy in South Africa, Ireland are getting closer to that scenario. Well, you'd fancy them against Italy. I know Italy, they've gone very close against them, but you think Ireland have a great chance of winning a quarterfinal there, possibly against South Africa again. Teams peaking for World Cups, you don't know. We'll see a little bit of what both those teams are about on Sunday. It's going to be a real test between Italy and South Africa themselves. But if you avoid France, but I don't think you're going to get into a situation of, it's very, very dangerous permutations of making changes because we want to avoid France or we want to play Italy or play South Africa instead. But I do think that it's a fair bit for the girls to play these matches. I think Japan and Spain will definitely be games that you want to run, you want to tackle, you want to get loads of movement, but you're into a different physical beast against New Zealand. Maybe he'll look at it and the data will be there that these players will be monitored with the, you know, they will be monitoring the loads and kind of efforts and work rate, the amount of work they're putting in. So that stuff will be monitored. Obviously, if you're fresh and you know, people will want to go out and play against New Zealand as well, you know what I mean? But the smart move for me would be you're in a quarterfinal, maybe keep all your resources for that quarterfinal and make sure everyone's fresh. But I was never a fan of the cotton wool scenario, were you, Keith?
No,
wrapping
never.
Wrapping players up, because it can really backfire on you. Because what you're doing is you're opening a can of worms to say, here's why you lost the quarterfinal or whatever, because you were trying to manoeuvre and play this team or that team. I think, look, he'll probably need to make a few changes, but not this whole flip the, you know, play the rest of the squad and kind of throw the game. It's, in one sense, imagine playing New Zealand and getting a result and being close to getting a result or possibly being in a match. I suppose it's not a do or die game, but it's a tricky situation for Scott Beaman to manage. But look, it's something they'll probably think more about, obviously, next week. This is a little banana skin, this one on Sunday against Spain.
What's the, you were talking there, Quinny, about being underdogs and being favourites. Like, nothing changes. I know exactly what you mean by that. There's a different feel to it, but it's still just a game of rugby. So what is the main difference of being a favourite and being an underdog in when you're going out for a game?
Rugby is a great leveller in a sense, kid. It's definitely one sport that physicality plays a massive part. It does, because if you're a little bit off it and you're strong favourites in a game and a team are ripping into you, they can unsettle you, they can... You can influence the game with your physicality. You can knock people back. You can put pressure on the scrum half. He gets a knock on or two. You can kick a fair bit. You can play a real kind of tight negative game and maybe get a couple of penalties and defend for long periods in a game. Now, a lot of stuff has to go right for you. We saw such an upset during the week, didn't we, in the football with Grimsby and United. It can happen. This is a cup game. This is an FA Cup game for Spain, in a sense. They're not underwhelming underdogs. They're not huge underdogs. I know you said the bookies of Ireland firm favourites, but...
33-point favourites, I think.
It's still a very tricky one. So you talk about the psychological side of it, and you played sport at a very high level as well, that if you're not on song, you can get little fractures in the group. And things, you can be out in the field and you can start trying, over trying and stuff like that. So, but the other side of that is, I think, and something I learned in my own career and, you know, from someone like Brian O'Driscoll and Paul O'Connell, O'Gara, these guys who really kind of naturally embrace, we are favourites. Let's go out and show why we're favourites.
Yeah.
And you kind of turn that mindset in your head. I'm not saying this team have to kind of go around with a swagger or a strut, is the women's team, but they have to kind of be able to not be afraid to acknowledge. We've improved a lot here and, you know, there's a couple of teams, elite teams that are very hard to catch at the moment. The ones I mentioned, England, are just at a different level, but Ireland have to kind of, you know, be comfortable in the improvements they've made, not get cocky about it. But, and then that creates a little bit of confidence when you play.
Yeah.
The danger is if a few things start going wrong. The one thing I would like to see more with this team is kicking more. I'd love to see us playing a little bit uglier, and we're trying to play a lot, okay, and that's great. It's and we want to see attack in rugby because we've two incredibly pacey wingers in Parsons and... McGann is on the bench, but Amy Lee... She's Amy Lee Costigan now, I still call her Amy Lee Murphy Crow because I'm...
The original.
Yeah, but she's married to a friend's son in Tipperary, so we know them well. But anyway, I'm going to still call her Amy Lee Murphy Crow, but they're incredibly quick. But, you know, tight games like that I mentioned to you, Keith, sometimes you need to be pragmatic and kick well. And Dan O'Brien, she had some great kicks against Japan the other day, but kicking strategy might... It might be something they have kind of locked and loaded for the latter parts.
Yeah. Go on ahead, Susanna.
Yeah, it's just on that. It's something I've asked Scott Beaman almost every time I've had a chance. But you see, when we watch them train, especially those 15 minutes you get access to, we see the nines practicing box kicking all the time on the pitch. And they warm up before the game, they're practicing. Then they actually get out there and we never see that used from any of our nines. Well, we saw, I think, one in one of the warm-up games from Molly Scuffle-McCabe. And it worked out really well. And Ireland actually got possession back about 30 metres forward. So it really surprises me that it's not something that's used more often. We go to Dana every single time. And she has an incredible boot, so I understand why. But sometimes she's caught in her own try line and she has to try and exit and she's stuck. And we've seen that happen before where she's been blocked down or they've been tackled over the try line. And it just seems like... we only have the one option when it comes to kicking. Whereas I don't understand why they sometimes don't use, maybe they're not confident enough yet. I'm really not sure, but I would really like to see box kicking come into that women's game more.
Especially when you have really quick wingers as well who are going to chase hard and put pressure on the opposition. I just think it gives you, And the stats show, particularly in the men's game. Now, sometimes it's frustrating. We see a lot of kicking in the men's game, but kicking is a very important part of, i.e., get out of your own half as quickly as you can and as best you can, and at least then that you're not in and risk of giving away scores and getting turnovers and stuff like that. We've seen brilliant attack. Just a little bit more on the kicking strategy, cross-field kicks for the wingers as well, and just trying to get in behind opposition, because Spain will come with a lot of line speed and very aggressive defence getting off the line on Sunday against Ireland to try and knock them back.
The social media has been insane, Susanna. It's been brilliant. Like, I think Anna McGann mainly has been the leader of all the TikTok stuff. Clearly a relaxed camp behind the scenes.
Yeah, they're fantastic. I don't know if you saw the stuff about the viral Canterbury fleeces, where basically Anna and Eve were wearing these incredible fleeces and the internet broke because everybody wanted Canterbury to release the fleeces. So they said if Anna got to 15K, that they would release them. And she's now at 18, so we're waiting to see what happens here. But no, it's great. And I think it is a relaxed camp. I asked Scott Beamond about it, what he thought about the TikToks, because I've actually seen him in a couple World Rugby TikToks, which... it is interesting. It's something you'd absolutely never see in the men's game. I mean, can you imagine Andy Farrell lining up at a World Rugby TikTok? It's just not something you would see. I can't imagine the look he'd give you if he asked. But I mean, Scott Beamond said he embraces creativity. He wants the girls to bring their fun and their creativity to the camp. And if that's the way they want to show it, then he's 100% happy to do it. And I mean, Eve Higgins is one of the stars of TikTok as well. And she had one of the best games at the weekend. So it's obviously not taking anything away from their game. And in general, you've seen women's rugby is taking to the likes of social media, and it's having a huge draw through that way. We've got the likes of Ilona Maher. I know I talked about her last week. They bring people in. People get attracted to the kind of TikTok stars, and that's a way of moving in and watching the women's game, maybe when you didn't have an interest in rugby to start with. So it's something that is really being embraced in the women's game, and it's something that's really working. So I think this tournament as a whole has had record-breaking impact on social media. And hopefully that just keeps going.
What would Roy Keane think?
I don't think he'd get involved.
It'd be fine if you go out and play well, but if you don't play well and you were TikToking during the week, Roy wouldn't be happy with you, would he?
Can you imagine?
That's what I mean.
You finish our training session, you go back to the hotel and you get told, come on, we just need to do a quick TikTok, girl.
I think it's good for you know, to try and grow this. And it's part of the world, you know. I was one of those people in the dressing room who was putting the towel up over the cameras when they came in, you know, because I did, that's an invasion of privacy in our space. But, you know, when you're out of the game, it's all part and parcel of marketing, promotion, trying to expand the game. And it's something that, you know, we saw it with the Netflix scenario with the players. The access was very limited. It flopped. No more Netflix, you know. If we want to grow the game and grow the women's game, it's part. There's TikTok and all this social media is part and parcel of it.
Yeah, whatever
and
works.
It's working. Hopefully. I mean, we saw the Ilona Maher effect in the PWR. She, I think, doubled the numbers that attended PWR games last year. Maybe not quite doubled, but they had to move stadiums. They had that much. She had that much effect on the people who wanted to come watch the games. And even we saw in the US-England game last week, I think it was a record-breaking opening game. They had something like 42,000, which was more than even attended the finals at the last World Cup. So you can see the impact that these players are having. And I mean, I think if it's attracting more people to the women's game, it's great, but it is a funny contrast to something you would just absolutely never see in the men's game. It's a very different angle.
Definitely. Different angle ahead of this game this weekend, folks. 12 noon kickoff at the Franklin's Gardens in Northampton, Ireland against Spain this Sunday in Rugby World Cup Pool A. Many thanks for coming in the studio.
Sure,
appreciate it. Susanna, thanks a million. We'll chat to you over the weekend as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.